A sermon from the third Sunday in Lent on the 15th of March 2020 at Elkstone before Holy Communion. There were two readings from Exodus 17 verses 1 to 7, water from the rock, and then John chapter 4 verses 5 to 42 about Jesus and the woman at the well. This morning's Bible passages are wonderful and just what we need given our current situation. For the past year or two, we've got used to receiving bad news about how Brexit would be a disaster for the country, how we're supposedly under cyber attack from the Iranians. Then there's a Swedish teenager who wants us all to panic about carbon dioxide emissions. We've had so many storms in quick succession that the Met Office must surely be running out of names. And then, more recently, endless programmes about a deadly virus originating in China and spreading rapidly all around the world. In June 1942, when 17,000 British troops had to be evacuated from the island of Crete, Sir Winston Churchill stood up in Parliament and gave a speech in which he said, "The British nation is unique in this respect. They are the only people who like to be told how bad things are, who like to be told the worst." Well, last Sunday morning in sermons at Colesbourne and Cobley, I felt there was a need to spell out how bad things could become. But since then, we've all become much better informed because of the news media being dominated by this pandemic. By the way, quite recently, the Reverend Dr. Nigel Scotland, who has led worship here, had been away on holiday in Tenerife, but they were locked in the hotel for 10 days later than expected because another guest had caught the virus whilst in northern Italy. Nigel and Anne are now safely back home in Cheltenham and are self-isolating for a few more days. The government's strategy of achieving so-called herd immunity is controversial, and last week's Cheltenham Festival may have added 100 million to the local economy, but I wonder at what price in terms of spreading this virus. We have gathered this morning to share in Holy Communion, and as you can see from the handout, we are taking some common sense precautions. And I shall certainly be using alcohol gel before serving the wafers at the altar rail. All this is by way of introduction to the Bible passages, which I believe give us good reason to be hopeful during the current coronavirus pandemic. First of all, we know that the book of Exodus tells how God raised up Moses, who led thousands of Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, across the Red Sea and into relative safety on the other side. The next stage of their journey towards the Promised Land involved crossing a vast and empty desert. The Israelite people had pitched their tents in the desert, and in the absence of running water, they began to doubt God and complained against Moses. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" For an appreciation of their plight, just consider this. Rainfall here in the English upland areas, when measured over a full year, is equivalent to about 60 inches or 5 feet in depth. That's from here in the pulpit right down to floor level. By contrast, the annual rainfall in southern Israel is less than 2 inches, which is about the thickness of these two hymn books. Well, in these circumstances, lack of water for the Israelites was bound to cause stress. They needed plenty of drinking water for themselves and their animals. In their suffering, the people quickly looked for someone to blame, and they picked on Moses, forgetting that God was their true leader. The Israelites chose to argue with Moses rather than to turn to God in prayer. Such lack of faith must have been very disappointing for God, who had quite recently rescued them from the Egyptians in the most miraculous way. By contrast, Moses didn't join in with their complaining, but instead he cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." Whilst a lot of our problems can be solved by careful thought or rearranging our priorities, sometimes we encounter a crisis that may cause us to cry out to God in prayer. As we know from the story, God answered by instructing Moses to go ahead of the people. "I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." God's answer may not come immediately or even be what we expected, but we can be sure that his timing is perfect and his answer is always in our best long-term interest. Turning now to the Gospel passage, which is obviously set some 1400 years later on, we find Jesus also needing some water to drink. Jesus had chosen to take a road through the mountainous Samaritan territory, which most people of the Jewish race would have avoided. They'd have gone down the Rift Valley. Jewish people looked down on the Samaritans for having married Syrian women whilst away in captivity. In return, the Samaritans hated the Jews for being so arrogant. And so, in the lengthy passage which I read earlier, Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by Jacob's well. It was about noon. It's interesting to note that although Jesus was exhausted, he wasn't complaining. Instead, he just sat down and trusted that God would care for him. Jesus was sitting there by the well when suddenly God's answer came in the most unlikely form. A Samaritan woman arrived at the well during the hottest and most uncomfortable time of the day, which must surely have been a sign that even amongst the Samaritans, she was a social outcast. Few other women would have wanted to associate with her because having gone through five husbands, and now she was living with someone without being married. Jesus knew all this, but I wonder what he was thinking as this Samaritan woman walked towards him at Jacob's well. In those days, men generally didn't talk to women, nor Jews to Samaritans. Women had few rights. For example, they couldn't initiate a divorce, even if innocent. This woman's social isolation and abandonment must have felt like a kind of desert experience. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Give me a drink." Yet from this rather blunt request, their conversation moves from physical water and into living water. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will surely be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." By way of background, in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, God is compared with a spring of living water. No one wants to drink still or stagnant water, but God is depicted as flowing water, bringing refreshment and new vitality. Elsewhere in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." The conversation continued with a woman when suddenly she asked to receive the living water that Jesus was offering, no doubt hoping this would make her life a bit easier. She would soon find that the world still presents lots of challenges, although God will change her outlook and enable her to cope. She went on to become the first Christian evangelist, since soon her whole village had heard the good news. Many were converted and came to recognise that Jesus was indeed the Saviour of the world. In summary then, Exodus teaches us that in times of crisis such as this, We must not waste time blaming our leaders, but instead turn to God, our Father, in prayer. After all, he knows what we need better than we know ourselves, and he will provide whatever is in our long-term interest. During the 40 days of Lent, let's cut back on listening to the news media and spend more time reading our Bibles and thinking of what we can do for others in need. From the Gospel passage, we can draw a similar conclusion about daring to speak with God in a realistic way, not hiding from him our personal circumstances, but daring to ask for the living water which is his gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Like the woman at the well, we shall find ourselves quite naturally spreading the good news around friends and neighbours. Quite realistically, in the months ahead, some of us may come under doctor's orders to go into self-isolation at home, just as happened recently with Nigel and Anne Scotland. Even if we can't all attend Sunday services, we are still the body of Christ. It's important to keep reaching out to one another by phone, text, cards, or some other safe method of keeping in touch. We will need to find how others are getting on, make the effort to communicate, encourage one another, and, of course, remain prayerful. Finally, let's keep the words of Jesus in mind. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Amen.